Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton. Thanks for coming and joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. Now, just a little disclaimer before we get into our conversation about professional wrestling. We know that there's been a lot of controversy that occurred after All Out in the media scrum, and we will talk a lot about that. The reason I'm doing this disclaimer is to let you know that usually our podcasts are safe for work, but on this particular one, especially the first almost half of it, there are some cuts from CM Punk that use a lot of bad language. If that offends you or you can't listen to it at work, we totally understand. Wanted to give you that heads up because we will be talking more about the scrum and the controversy with AEW, CM Punk, the Young Bucks, also Hangman Adam Page, Kenny Omega, and Tony Khan. It's all coming up as we take out the trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
You don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Welcome back, my friends. Oh, my word. I wish it would end sometimes, but it never will. This is Turnbuckle Trash. I am Dave Denton. Some people call me Dr. Dave. Some people call me Buford. And I don't know. Some people call me... Well, you can just call me what you want to. It doesn't make any difference to me. We just call Christopher Evans the original trash head. How are things in North Carolina today, Chris?
It's beautiful here in Salisbury, North Carolina, getting all the house packed up, ready to move back to Statesville. But we got a lot, and I mean a lot, to talk about on Turnbuckle Trash now.
Let's get into it real quick. Over the weekend, All Out, AEW, quickly, I bought the show. I wanted to watch it live, and I could not. For some reason, Xfinity would not let me purchase the show. A number came up on my screen, says, call this, there's a problem. I called it, they never could get it rectified. So for the first time in about 2 years, I missed an AEW show. I know I could have got it on the replay, and I still might, but, you know, holy, you know, I was so upset. Yeah. So that's why I missed the show live. But I have watched some things, especially the press conference, the media scrum after with none other than CM Punk and Tony Khan. Chris, we'll be playing some cuts from that. But I want, first off, to get your opinion about what happened on Sunday night at the media scrum.
It was a debacle from the moment that CM Punk grabbed the mic. I think it was unnecessary. I think that the way he went about this was unnecessary. And everybody knows that he's been stripped of the AEW title. And I'm glad that that's happened. But will this be the fall of CM Punk in AEW? We don't know. But the way that they went about this was wrong. Tony Khan should have stepped up and said the interview is over, but he was like a deer in the headlight. He just didn't do it.
Well, I, you know, a lot of what you say, I totally agree with. And I'm going to say one thing, and I, you know, I really don't care if it gets back to Punk or not, because I can have an opinion too. Totally unprofessional. Totally unprofessional what he did. This is supposed to be an event after he gets a major payday for this company. And they're getting ready to make the questions available to the press. And I want everyone to listen to this. And I'm not going to play the whole thing, just little cuts of this I want people to listen to. And you can make your own opinion. And once again, your opinion is your opinion, and I respect that. But at the very beginning of the media scrum, I want you to listen to them give the question to the first journalist and how Punk reacts to this.
Just say your name and your...
Cool. Hi, Nick Housman with Wrestling Inc.
I'll start, Nick.
Show of hands, who here fancies themselves as a journalist? You're a journalist, Nick?
All right. I try my best.
Okay. You did improv. Who'd you do improv with?
I did it with Scott Colton.
Hmm. Okay, so you fancy yourself a journalist. Would you say you're friends with Scott Colton?
No, I haven't talked to Scott in some time.
So you're not friends with him?
No, Scott and I do not see eye to eye.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes two of us. My point is, if you fancy yourself a journalist, even if it's for the silly world of professional wrestling, and you have journalistic integrity, people who report things, mostly that are bullshit, and slanderous lies against myself, if I haven't had anything to do with Scott Colton in almost a decade, probably wanted nothing to do with him even longer than that.
So he never answered the question, and he attacks the journalist,
yep.
And he goes on this tirade, nothing about All Out. And that bothers me.
It does, because, I mean, he had no right to attack the journalist like that. And I don't know why he was on the defensive so much. I mean, okay, you're not friends with Colt Cabana anymore, and we understand why. But did you have to take it out on that journalist? Although he said you're not a journalist, you're something.
Well, he said that the Colt Cabana and this guy at one time were partners doing improv. And evidently that is no longer the case. So at one time, the journalist and Scott were friends. And they probably see each other, but sometimes friendships go in different directions. I thought it was
true. Absolutely
horrendous the way he did it. And then, before we get too much more into this, I wanted to play this. This is CM Punk from the media scrum talking about the EVPs, the executive vice presidents, in the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and then he also talks about Hangman Adam Page. And this is that segment from the media scrum.
The fact that I have to sit up here because we have irresponsible people who call themselves EVPs and couldn't fucking manage a target, and they spread lies and bullshit and put into a media that I got somebody fired when I have fuck all to do with him. Want nothing to do with him. Do not care where he works, where he doesn't work, where he eats, where he sleeps. And the fact that I have to get up here and do this in 2022 is fucking embarrassing.
Okay, Chris, once again, had nothing to do with All Out. This is supposed to be a time for them to talk about this pay-per-view.
It was. Now, you have been in business longer than I have. If you had talked about your employer or somebody like that that's in your business, do you think you would be employed much longer?
Oh, no. You made a point of saying the kid, Tony Khan, had kind of like the deer in the headlights look. But I kind of want to put this kind of spin on it. My opinion, once again, my opinion. If you have your top star right there and you're in front of a bunch of journalists who can or cannot help you succeed.
Uh-huh.
And you get your number one guy and you say to him, which I think Tony probably should have said, okay, that's enough right now. Let's drop this subject. Let's talk about All Out. And we can address the subject either at the end or we can have another press conference. And said that to CM Punk. But the kind of mood that Phil was in, do you think he would have taken that without tearing into Tony Khan and calling him every name of the book and talk about their negotiations and what he was, according to Phil, I'm not even going to call him CM Punk, according to Phil, what he's done wrong as the executive of All Elite. Do you think that he would have let Tony Khan do that?
No, there's no way. He's got too big of an ego on himself, and that's the way Punk has always been about himself. I think he would have probably lit in to Tony Khan. But the thing I have a problem with is that as the executive and the owner of AEW, he should have stopped the interview right there, because that had nothing to do with what happened in All Out. It had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So my thing is, Tony, you let your champion, well, somewhat of a champion, do this on live TV and you didn't stop it. But I understand that Punk has, you know, some gripes. And then he went after the EVPs, which doesn't make any sense either. But, I mean, I can understand Punk's situation. He's upset about a lot of things. But why go after the whole locker room? Why do this? It makes no sense.
Yeah. I just know a couple of years ago, I was personally in my situation. I know we have some new members of our group that are probably listening to Turnbuckle Trash, maybe for the first time. I worked in radio for 45 years. I've worked all over the country. I worked in mid-Missouri. I worked in St. Louis. I did some work in Columbia. I worked a couple of places in Tennessee, Louisiana, Utah, Arkansas. I've been all over and been in a lot of different situations. Situation arose several years ago where we were having a large meeting with the ownership and all the program directors in this radio group. And the ownership made a comment about one of the stations and just asked a question. And the ego of this one individual, and I will not name this individual, one reason was, I don't like the guy. But
gotcha.
The individual stood up right in the middle of this meeting and started berating the owner of the station. And the owner looked at it and just sat there and let him have his say. And very calmly said, okay, that's it. Boy, he was lucky it wasn't me. I would have said, get to my office now, we'll talk. And he would not have had a job.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's different ways to manage things. To me, I thought Tony Khan made a big mistake.
And he did. He did. It just made AEW look like this outlaw mud show. And to me, it should never have happened. We knew that Punk was going to probably go flying off the handle as usual. And this media should never have happened to begin with.
Yeah, it was a strange situation. So what made Punk go off the rails? You know, evidently some of the dirt sheets are out there are still talking about the situation between Punk and Colt Cabana. Okay. But also Hangman Adam Page is involved with this because of this promo that Hangman did right before their championship match a couple of months ago. Listen quickly. This is Hangman Adam Page talking to CM Punk in the ring and then Punk's reaction to that from the media scrum.
Tears, I don't think you get it because it's not just about what happens in this ring. It's what happens when that red light turns off. What happens when you go back through the curtain, those small, quiet moments when you think no one's watching? That's what makes a champion. You talk a big game about workers' rights, yeah? Well, you've shown the exact opposite since you've gotten here. I love this place. I care about this place. This is my home. And this Sunday at Double or Nothing, I will not be defending this championship against you. No, for the first time in my life, I will be defending All Elite Wrestling from you.
What did I ever do in this world to deserve an empty-headed, fucking dumb fuck like Hangman Adam Page to go out on national television and fucking go into business for himself? For what?
Okay, I thought Hangman was just trying to get heat, you know, about
yeah.
the match. Now, evidently, Punk, Phil, took it personal. And sometimes these guys can cross the line when they do
can.
A promo. And there's yeah. been lots of incidences where there's been backstage altercations. Once again, my whole thing is it was not handled properly.
Nope.
To me, it was completely unprofessional. And
oh,
I
yes.
don't care if CM Punk ever wrestles again. If mm-hmm. this is not a work, I don't think it is, but you never know in the world of professional wrestling. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, and I'll just take you back a few weeks ago, when John Moxley beat CM Punk and that foot injury, which was a legitimate foot injury, reared its ugly head again, but was the reason why Punk lost the match was because of that foot injury, or was it a work to get this all out pay-per-view, get it some more heat? I think it was the latter. I think Jon Moxley winning that match was a reason to try to get CM Punk some more heat and get a few more ticket sales. My opinion, once again.
Well, I mean, that's a great opinion right there, but the only thing that I have to say is when CM Punk, and we have a plane going over, wonderful. the only thing that I'd say is this, CM Punk went into the ring and he said that he had 16 screws and two plates put into his foot. And you know as well as I do with the medical conditions, do you think somebody is going to go back into the ring after all that surgery on a foot?
I see what you're talking about. I broke a bone in my foot several years ago, and I had to have one screw put in. And, man, it's messed me up. I mean, because I was on all kinds of, walkers and all kinds of things, and it put pressure on my knee, and then I had to have knee replacement. It started a downward spiral in my health. That was probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it all stemmed from that one injury. But I got to give Punk a little credit here, because maybe he was okay with getting back in the ring. If you'll remember, the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, he wrestled with a prosthetic after losing his foot in a motorcycle accident.
That's true.
So let's give him a little credit there. And then during the media scrum, Punk did say that he was having trouble finding wrestling boots. He had bought some new boots and he had tried different things so the foot would feel better. And then he added that he was actually wearing smaller boots that belonged to Danhausen. And he was wearing these boots and it made his foot feel better. And I thought this was legit. I think he was saying, I was surprised as anybody else that this worked, but that's fine. I don't wish the guy any bad luck in your health and all that. My whole thing goes back to, was this the time, the place? I don't care if you're ticked off. Sometimes you got to swallow your pride. Sometimes you've got to be a pro. And I didn't think he was very professional this past Sunday night. So I really don't care one way or the other. If he gets back in the ring, fine. If he doesn't, I don't care. Just don't care.
Well, I think that's a lot of people right now. They want Punk to go away. And I think this is the final straw that broke the camel's back with Punk. It's time for him to ride off into the sunset and just go away. He's not going to be the champion anymore. They've already taken the title away from him. They're going to have another tournament involved, and let's see what happens. But in my saying is, this has already put a black eye on AEW for what just happened. And now Tony Khan comes out in a nice suit and a shirt and a tie and says, thank you for everything y'all have done, but I have stripped everybody of their titles.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and welcome to AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite on TBS. Following All Out on pay-per-view this past Sunday night, I've been forced to vacate the AEW World Championship, as well as the AEW World Trios Championship. New World Trios Champions will be crowned live tonight in our opening contest in a fight between two of the most storied trios in AEW's history. Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends versus the AEW All-Atlantic Champion Pac and the Lucha Brothers, the Death Triangle. The AEW World Championship is the single most prized title in all of combat sports, and it will be decided in the grandest way possible. The AEW Grand Slam Tournament of Champions, with seven-time world champion Chris Jericho, former AEW World Champion and AEW World Tag Team Champion Hangman Page, six-time world champion Bryan Danielson, the all-time longest reigning TNT champion Darby Allin, three-time TNT champion Sammy Guevara, and three-time world champion Jon Moxley, fighting in a huge series of matches starting tonight. and a world champion will be crowned 2 weeks from tonight at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City at AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. I promise you that tonight is going to be a great night of professional wrestling, and AEW will be at our very best these next few weeks on the road to AEW Grand Slam. Thank you again, and back to you, Excalibur, Tony, and Taz.
That's not going to make this go away. Everybody's going to bring this up every stinking time they get on social media. What about Punk? What about the way things are going in the back? Are you crumbling? Is it a dumpster fire? It's not going to go away.
I somewhat agree with you, somewhat.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's going to go away, because you're going to see a lot of lawsuits after this.
Oh, it's
there's
going to
be
a lot
of litigation, not necessarily because of the media scrum, but what happened afterwards when Punk and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and this Ace Steel, I think is his name, he's one of CM Punk's coaches, get into an altercation backstage. This is where, now, once again, you're talking dirt sheets here, and I would say the dirt sheets are usually 75 to 80% correct, and then the rest is speculation. I say we have been hearing that Punk had a very serious shoulder injury and had to have surgery on that, or is going to have surgery. Kenny Omega got bit by Punk's dog, plus had part of his hair pulled out. Ace Steel threw a chair and hit one of the Young Bucks just above the eye. So I'm seeing, you know, there was this fight. There's going to be litigation because he said, she said, and, you know, there's laws out there about what you can say about another person. And if it, you know, if it financially affects them or physically affects them, there's litigation that can be had. And I think there's going to be a lot of litigation. We'll be hearing about this for years, just like when we heard CM Punk when he left the WWE. I don't think we've heard the last of this. I think it's going to go for the next couple of years. Will it hurt AEW? I'll just go right on the record right now. I don't think so. I think there's enough people out there that are saying, hey, I don't care. Just put on a good wrestling show. And you've got plenty of great talent on there that might get a little bit more of a push because CM Punk might be gone. And who knows? Maybe the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega might be gone. I think that's a little bit more iffy at this time. But you've got plenty of good young talent, and I bet the ratings for last night went off the roof because you know, for everyone wanted to see what Tony Khan was going to say.
Oh, you know that the ratings went through the roof when they did the show, and Tony Khan is the first one to come up, and he says that he has stripped every one of their titles. And, I mean, as soon as I got on social media and I started looking at this, everybody was up in arms about it, and people are mad at Tony Khan because he's become the antichrist of professional wrestling. But what are you supposed to do? I mean, you've got a train wreck that happened backstage. You have a train wreck of the media that just happened. You have to do something, because this is going to be talked about for years, just like you said. But how long is this going to affect AEW? And a lot of people are saying AEW is crumbling. I don't see it that way. AEW is a little bit stronger. But, I mean, the tournament makes no sense. To me, the tournament for the title makes no sense. The people that they have picked, again.
What would you do? What would you do? How would you book it?
Well, it would be more than just what they have right now. I would put more wrestlers into it and make it a longer tournament.
Okay, I can see that.
To make it a longer tournament. I mean, you only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrestlers involved. I would bring more wrestlers in that deserves a shot at that title. Let's bring Orange Cassidy in this. You brought Darby Allin. Okay, what about Orange Cassidy? What about the people that are lower on the totem pole? Let them have the spotlight. But you pick these guys. Well, Darby Allin deserves it. Don't get me wrong. He does deserve it. But there's more people back there that deserve a shot at a tournament than just six people.
Yeah. Well, so I can go with you on that. But they're all champions of one way or the other. You're a TNT champion, or they were the AEW champion, and that's how they're booking it. They're booking it as a tournament of champions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. A tournament of champions is great, but I think that whoever the TNT champion is, you know, like back in the old days, he should be the number one contender.
That would be Wardlow right now.
Yeah, so he should be the number one contender. Doesn't need a tournament. Let him have a shot at it. I mean, they're burying Wardlow as it is, the way that they're booking him, the way that I see it. He's mid-card. But Wardlow is somebody that can draw money. John Moxley draws money, what I can tell somewhat. But Darby Allin, he's good. But everybody likes Orange Cassidy. Why not put the title? Why not let him go through the tournament and win the AEW championship? That would bring you money right off the bat because everybody loves this man. You love it.
Yes, my wife loves him. Every time he comes on, she looks at me and gives me that half thumbs up, you know. Oh, and then when he lost last night in the Trios Championship to the Death Triangle. She was sad.
I even said it myself. I said, this is going to be his first championship. And then when I saw who won, I just shook my head. I said, why in the HE double toothpicks would you do this to a man that has given his career up for this and you just, you know, push him off to the side? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I will tell you, I was wearing my PAC t-shirt yesterday.
Okay.
So I can't say I love Pac. I really do.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of
the
Lucha Brothers, but Pac, I mean, he's one of my 10 favorites right now. I just love watching that guy in the ring. So I thought for sure the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy would get the first run. They might be setting something up for the future, or maybe
they could.
You know, might be setting up something for the Best Friends themselves to turn heel, because they've kind of talked about that over the last couple of months. There's been a lot of speculation that they might turn heel, but boy, I wouldn't want to be Tony Khan right now. I mean, honestly, I think he's probably got to go over the next several days. He's got to have more talent meetings. He's got to have creative meetings. He's got to have lots of lawyers. And then Zach on our Facebook page made a good comment, made a really good. Zach, thank you very much, by the way. He told me that the reason Tony Khan did not mention Punk or the EVPs by name was because of possible litigation. Good point.
That's true.
Very good point. And Zach, thanks again, once again, for being part of our Turnbuckle Trash and our family, which is growing, by the way. Yeah. Couple of your friends and people that you work with back in North Carolina have been joining us as of late.
Yes, Tim Beck, he worked with me in Graves County, Kentucky. He made his own little page about superstars in wrestling, and the first the picture that I saw was Jerry Lawler, and I said, hey man, you need to come over here to Turnbuckle Trash, and he became friends with us, and he started going through the stuff, and he goes, man, I love this.
Oh, good.
He says, let's keep going here. And he's a good gentleman, and there's a lot of people that know about Turnbuckle Trash here in North Carolina, and I wear my shirt all the time when I go to, you know, like flea markets and everything that I see wrestling memorabilia, and I give them a card and say, hey, man, you need to come over here and listen to what we have to talk about.
Right.
And they do. But the thing of it with AEW with me right now is they have a turmoil of competition, plus with their wrestlers. And you saw what happened last night with MJF. And my question to you is this, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Why mention another competitor's name all the time if you want to bring up your brand? Why bring up another competition all the dang time?
Because,
and that's what he did.
That's what he does. And having worked in the advertising medium for the last 45 years, I've often wondered that of myself, because I've had ads that I have done for other people that mention a competitor's name. I won't say who, but recently I did a series of ads, political ads, in the state of Wyoming. And they ran in Wyoming, and I had to mention this person that was they were running against. Burger King has mentioned McDonald's in their ads. Wendy's has mentioned Burger King in their ads. Coke mentions Pepsi. So it is something that if you look at a promo as advertising, which I a lot do because it's trying to get people excited about your product, I can understand why he did it. Did I like it? Especially, I will say it was clever when he talked about working for the other con, Jolly Old Saint Nick, Nick Con. I thought that was clever. But also, let's give MGF some credit here. He started off the night when he was cutting his promo just as the biggest baby face you ever wanted to see. He had the crowd just in the his grip. I mean, they were cheering for him, and then Moxley comes out, and the next thing you know, he's pulling off the Buffalo Bills jersey, using it like toilet paper, and talking Buffalo the worst franchise in the NFL, and that's a way to get heel heat. So he did the perfect thing, coming out, getting that very good babyface return heat, and now he's a heel once again. I thought it was masterful. Very well done.
Well, you know, MJF is a master at being a heel. That's what he is. That's what he will always be. Yeah. No matter what, MJF is the perfect heel right now. But at the time that all this stuff is going on with AEW, let's bring him in as a babyface and then he turns. But you know what? They had every right to do what they did that night. I had no problem with it. It threw me for a loop at first, but then when Moxley comes out, I knew automatically he's going to turn heel. Right off the bat, he's going to go back to being a heel, and he was. But when he said something, my good friend and mentor, the game, I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. Really? Are you kidding? And even Triple H had something to say about that.
Oh.
Triple H said, if that's what you want to do, so be it. You're just gaining more popularity for us.
And that's so true. I'll agree. I will agree.
It's okay. I mean, it's fine to do things like that every now and then. But if they want to be the big fish in the small pond, which the WWE is, they're the big fish, and you all have to go against them right now, bringing up past things is not really going to help your brand, but in the retrospect, yes, it does.
Like I said, with advertising, you'll see that kind of advertising a lot. Anything else about AEW before we move on?
Well, not really. I mean, we've already hit on a lot of subjects with AEW.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to be coming right back, and we'll talk about WWE, and then I went to the wrestling matches for an independent show here in Utah this past weekend. I wanted to talk more about that. That's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at daysvoiceworks.com. DaysVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
That move. On his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's tuba forward and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, with there's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, we're back here on Turnbuckle Trash. Chris, I'm going to give you a choice here, okay? You get to choose what we're going to talk about. We call this Chris Chooses.
That was lame.
Oh, dude, lame.
That was pretty lame. But do we want to first talk about the WWE and Clash at the Castle, or do we want to talk more about me going to an independent show here in Utah? Which one would you like to hear about, Chris?
I think the most popular right now is probably you going to the independent show. I saw some pictures of you going there, and you got to meet some very, very high prominent wrestlers.
Yeah, I did. There was a combination Lucha Libre show with DCW stars also in there, Devotion Championship Wrestling from Salt Lake. And Bud Birch joined us on our last podcast talking about the event. And watched him in the ring against Andrew Sowell. I know one of your favorites.
The duct tape champion, yes.
Yes, and he is the champion right now. And it was a good match. But it was, you know, it was a small independent crowd. It was mostly Hispanic because this was a Lucha Libre. And I don't speak Spanish. I wish I did. I wish I spoke a little bit. But it was a very entertaining show, especially from the DCW event. I just thought that went very, very well as the DCW wrestlers. I will just say this, outshone the Lucha stars, okay? Nothing against the Lucha, but it's just a different type of wrestling that I appreciate. But maybe it's because I know the guys from DCW a little bit. But I got to talk to Manny Lemons, had my picture taken with him, and his wife, who goes by the name of Rekha Tahaka, beautiful lady, just gorgeous. She's extremely talented, not only in the wrestling ring, she sings very, very, very well. So I got to talk to them and I get to catch up with them because with my health issues over the last couple of years, I haven't been going to DCW. And I got to see Bonesaw. You know, he recently had neck surgery. Got to talk to him and Josh Glade, who took a selfie with my wife's phone, which it was weird. Check out the Facebook page on that and join us on Facebook, by the way. But I thought that the first half of the show featured DCW stars, and then the second half of the show featured two matches that featured a tag team from Lucha. One guy was really good. He was kind of shorter, a little bit round. He was good. And then they had this giant. I mean, he was huge. But Josh Glade, who was also a huge man, outshined him. I mean, it was like this guy just needs a little bit more training, the big guy. And then they had a best 2 out of 3 championship match. And once again, since I'm not familiar with the Spanish language as much as I probably should be, I can't tell you who they were. But they were stars on the Lucha Libre circuit. One was a guy who played like Sonny King. He was a very effeminate guy and played it up. He held one belt, and then a mask wrestler who had a great look. I mean, this guy was tall. He wasn't skinny. He wasn't overly muscled, and he had a great looking mask. Came out with like the Scott Steiner, the chain link all over his face, and then he took that off, and it was a silver mask. Great look. They put on a pretty decent show. But I will say this, and it's not anything against the Lucha stars that were there. I just enjoy the DCW, and it probably is because I know some of these guys, and they're friends of mine on Facebook and also on the Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page. So wink, wink, nudge, nudge to you guys in DCW. You guys do a great job. Manny, one of the great guys in wrestling. And they're having, once again, they're having their show December the 3rd It's going to be in Salt Lake City at Trolley Square as of right now. Depends on ticket sales. But the Good Brothers are going to be there. Diamond Dallas Page is going to be there. Eric Bischoff is going to be there. The NWA Women's Champion Camille is going to be there. Rekha Doc is going to be there. All the stars at DCW. And just don't be surprised if one or two more names are coming out for that. So good luck to those guys from DCW. And SmackDown is coming to Salt Lake City at the end of the month, the same weekend that is going to be something called FanX, which is a Comic-Con type event. And they've announced being there, Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh,
also,
wow.
Also going to be there, Kevin Nash. And, and just announced this past week is going to be Booker T. And they're all going to be in Salt Lake City. And I know Zayn is going to be going to both events. And DCW is going to have a ring set up also and putting on some matches for the fans there in Salt Lake City at FanX. Man, I wish I could go, but my health just won't let me right now. So,
well, DCW has been doing some awesome work as of late. And it's been really, really nice to see the, you know, lower promotions get all this recognition from the higher ups like Eric Bischoff, Booker T. And I'm really surprised at what they've been pulling off lately. And I wish DCW nothing but the best, because you're bringing back the old school wrestling, the old school that we're used to, and good storylines.
Right. Right.
So that's been really good for Manny, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah. So let's move on once again, because you chose DCW and independent wrestling. Now let's talk about WWE news and what happened at Clash at the Castle 2022. I really, really liked the event. Overall, very, very well done. Just enjoyed it to heck. What was the highlight to you at Clash of the Castle?
Something that I chose a while back, I chose Dominic turning heel.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it as the plain as the nose on my face,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a pretty big nose.
Yes, you do. I mean, I was only serious.
I got the booey nose. I know that for a fact. But the thing of it is that we saw this coming. We just didn't know that it was going to take this long. But Dominic has finally turned heel. Is it a good move? Yes.
For him, it yes. It's a great move. Yeah.
It's a great move.
And then did you see his look on Monday Night Raw as he comes out first time as a heel, where they had his hair greased back and pulled straight back, and then all
he looked like
black.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, he did look like Eddie.
And
by the way, did you watch the biography of Rey Mysterio?
No, I haven't.
Okay, if you get to watch that on AE, there's a segment in there talking about that storyline with Dom, Eddie Guerrero, and also Ray, the I'm Your Poppy storyline, where Eddie said he was actually Dominic's father. They explained how it happened, because Eddie evidently had written a book and talked about how he and Vicky had separated for a while and that he had fathered a child by another woman. And that was the genesis of that particular storyline, which I did not know. And then they came up with the possibility of doing the storyline. They had to explain it to Dominic, which he understood how wrestling works even at that young age, and he ate it up. He thought it was great. His uncle Eddie was going to do all this stuff in the ring. Plus, he got to travel all over the country and do stuff in the ring with his dad and his uncle. He knew what was going on the whole time, but Ray even said, out of respect, he went to his wife and talked to her about it before they even talked to Dominic. And I thought that was awesome. And then one other thing about Rey Mysterio, I talked about when he wrestled without a mask in WCW and how it affected him mentally. He was actually cut, he was being paid when WWE purchased WCW. They just weren't using him. He went into a depression. His wife got pregnant with their little girl, who's in her 20s now.
Yeah.
And Ray even said he was a complete jerk to his wife during her pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
Just, I mean, really, really bad. And I recommend you watch that just even for that one segment, because Ray admits it. Then he says when he saw his daughter the first time, he apologized to his wife. Isn't that cool? I think that's awesome.
It is, because once you have a child, I mean, I've never had a child before, and I mean, if the good Lord is willing and it's all open, I may have one, you know, down the future. I don't think that'll ever happen. But children always make you come out the best that you ever are. Mm-hmm. And with Rey Mysterio, I can never see him being a, you know, a heel to family members. But for what you just told me, I can understand why, because he was, you know, down in the dumps. He's not being used like he is. And sometimes that bleeds over to family.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rey is, he's doing the best work that I've ever seen.
Right, I agree. Now. I agree. He's doing excellent work.
And it's a work, we know this, but how much is this killing him on the inside with his son? I mean, it's a work. We all know this, and he knows it, it's storyline. But to have your own son do this line against you, sometimes it can hurt on the inside.
Right.
But it's the best work we have seen, because Dominic is just, he's milking this for everything it's worth.
Well, I think the important thing, and you brought up the point, is how is it going to affect them inside? How is it going to affect their relationship? And as long as the two keep open relationship and talk about what they're going to do in promos, because as we've heard, you know, recently in the earlier segment, that if you don't word a promo correctly or maybe go off on your own, it can hurt people's feelings and cause real rift in family members or in friends. So I think that's all important about how they handle that. But I think it was a great move to get Dominic as a heel as Ray gets ready to end his career. I think it was very important for Ray to give up that reign of being the doting father and let his son just kind of shine a little bit more. And I think it's going to be, if Dominic's going to have any kind of career after Ray is gone, then he really needed this.
I see a WrestleMania moment coming as Dominic goes against Ray, and then I could be wrong, but I see Dominic stripping Ray of his mask as the final match, and then Ray turns the mask over to him and say, now it's up to you where you want to go.
Could be.
It could be. It could happen.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. Is Dominic good in the ring, or is he just subpar?
He's a bigger wrestler than Ray. He's not quite as fast as Ray.
Yeah.
Because he is a bigger guy. Uh-huh. I think he needed more seasoning before he came to WWE. Maybe let him wrestle in Mexico, maybe go to some smaller promotions. But that's just me. And I don't know if he's going to have a great career after Ray retires. I just don't know, because that's that natural heat that could build, whether he's a heel or a face. And I just think that is something he has to deal with in the future.
I don't think he's going to be as big as his daddy. There's just no way on God's green earth. But he's got a big shoes to fill to be like a Rey Mysterio. But I just don't see him being main event capability with the WWE. I say after Rey retires, he may have a run. He may get the U.S. championship. And then after that, the WWE says, well, we don't have anything else for you.
I see him being a big star in AAA. I think he could do
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
I think he could do that. So, also at Clash of the at the Champions, I thought the best match of the entire night, the best match to me, was the former Walter Gunther, and you still hear parts of the crowd going, Walter, Walter. Yeah. He comes out, and he and Sheamus tore it up for the IC title. They battered, beat the you-know-what out of each other, with Gunther coming out victorious once again. But Sheamus stayed in the ring, and I think Gunther was probably saying, yeah, let him catch some love from his hometown or from his home country. And the crowd went crazy for Sheamus standing in the ring. And you could tell his face got emotional right there in the middle of the ring. I thought that was the highlight of the night to me as far as a match goes. I thought that match was incredibly well done.
It was well done. And after the pictures that I saw, I'm surprised Sheamus has a chest left. The slaps that was received at end after end, I don't know how the man is breathing.
Yeah.
But it was a great match back and forth, and I give credit to the both participants because they put on one heck of a show, and Class at the Castle was good.
It was
good. I was very surprised.
And then the main event of the evening was the champion, WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, against Drew McIntyre, and they tore it up. It was a great match. It was fun, lots of highlights, I just thought it was good. And then there was that twist there, that nice little twist at the end with Sokoa, who is the Usos' brother, who is, by the way, the very first DCW champion in Salt Lake City, now on the main roster as he helps Roman Reigns defeat Drew McIntyre.
It was great to see them do that. It was a good twist to the storyline. And then when he unveils himself, and nobody knows who this guy really is, like, right. Okay, who's this? Okay, now you're with the Bloodline. So my question is this: when are we going to have the final reign of Roman Reigns? When is it going to be enough? He's had 700 and something days as the champion. You've had 2 years as the ultimate champion. When is the final nail in the coffin?
Get these hands.
Oh, you think so?
Get these hands.
Okay.
Coming back, but Monday Night Raw, Braun Strowman. And I think eventually that will be the thing that comes through.
Now, were you surprised with Braun Strowman coming back?
No, honestly wasn't.
Okay, good.
I wasn't surprised because of the way Triple H is bringing back some of this really good talent that Vince let get out of the hand. I mean, Braun Strowman, you think about his reaction he gets from the crowd?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's a good performer. He does decent work on the mic. And, I mean, the man is a monster. And he is. He's even in better shape now than he was when he left. He is cut.
Okay, so now Braun Strowman has come back. What just happened to your other promotion that you and EC3 had going? From what I understand, they canceled every show that they had because Braun Strowman was coming back, and now the rumor is going around is that EC3 is going to be coming back as well.
You know, I would like that too, but I had that question in my head because I have that app on my phone, although I've very rarely used it for their promotion. If EC3 is coming back, I want him to be EC3, the character that we saw in ROH, you know.
Yes.
Not the EC3, with the Flash and all that, but to be EC3, to be a real bad guy. You know, he just needs to be bad. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. He needs to be somebody that's unstoppable.
Yeah. And I would love to see him come back. I absolutely would love it.
Well, there's a lot of rumors that are going around right now, the people that Triple H wants to bring back. And the biggest one that everybody's want to know is about Bray Wyatt. And Triple H has made the statement that Bray Wyatt was one of the most creative minds that Triple H has ever met.
Yeah.
He's always thinking about the business. So, but my question is, okay, if he's so creative, when do you want to bring this man back? You should have brought him back at the castle, but they put it off because the contract negotiations are still up in the air.
Right. And I hope he comes back. And even if he comes back behind the scenes, because he does have that good mind, I would love to see him come back. I really would.
I would too, because that would bring a load of fans back to the WWE, because let's face it, they're missing Bray Wyatt. They're missing The Fiend, and that's what they want to see. And they're just itching to see if Triple H will pull the trigger and right. say, okay, it's time for you to come back, and let's not refurbish you. Let's bring you back as you were.
Right.
And let's just do it this way. And the way Triple H is doing business right now with bringing back the talent that, you know, Vince didn't want, I think it's doing very well for them right now.
Right. Johnny Gargano's back.
Yes.
And now they've given Austin Theory his Austin back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And did you see the KO promo against Theory on Monday Night Raw?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it.
Kevin Owens is cutting a promo on Theory, who's in the ring. And he says, Theory, I mean, I can call you Austin. You got your name back. And the crowd went, I mean, it went crazy. I love Kevin Owens, and I love Sami Zayn. I mean, they're right up there with my favorite wrestlers right now. But Kevin does some of the best mic work out there, and also in the ring. I thought that was funny. But anyway, Johnny Gargano coming back, and who knows who's going to be coming back to NXT. They brought back Hit Row. Which, I mean, I don't mind the guys in the ring at all. I like them in the ring. But, man, get on key, you know? So,
that's fine. Yeah, that's fine and dandy. Bring those guys back. But you need to start bringing back other people as well that the fans, you know, really, really had a show with.
Right.
And then one of them was Bray Wyatt. And one of them is... we have another AEW star that has left AEW that doesn't have their contract back. Do you believe that he's going to be coming back as well?
Got to tell me who.
He was with NXT. Oh, Lord. Now that you ask me, I can't remember. I can't remember who his name is. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
Oh, Bobby Fish?
That's it, Bobby Fish.
No, I don't think they'll bring him back.
Really?
No, don't think so. I think Bobby Fish is, good performer. I've really liked him, but I just don't see him being brought back unless it is to like an NXT. Maybe they bring him back and get him back with Diamond Mine, you know?
And it might, be part of that. It might.
There's just a lot of speculation out there, and we can make speculations all the time. And that's the great thing about professional wrestling. If it's done right, it gets people talking. It can be fun. It can be controversial.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's one of the reasons I love pro wrestling.
Well, that's what needs to happen in pro wrestling now. But the way the internet is, we don't know who's going to be what, and there's no surprises anymore. That's the problem right now. There's too many talking heads and too many people online saying, well, I know this, I know that, and you don't know anything. We don't know. That's why we always say on this show, we're fans. We're exactly. not experts.
We're not experts.
We just know what we want to see.
Right.
But it depends on what the wrestling organization wants to do.
And that is what makes us a little bit different. I mean, most podcasts that you're going to listen to, they're going to say, well, they should do this, they should do that, they should. And we can give our opinions, and that's fine, you know. But as it goes, we're fans, and we're going to watch probably anyway. Although I came so close to stop watching Raw, a few months ago, I came so close to stop watching it because it was just horrible. Now
well,
I enjoy watching Raw.
Yeah, that's everybody because everybody was tired of, you know, the the stuff that they were putting on, and then SmackDown became, you know, just like Raw, and people were tuning out, and finally somebody from the head of the organization goes, you know what, we're getting killed in the ratings, we need to bring something back that will make people believe in this again. So they said, hey, Hunter, what can you do? And Hunter said, okay, well, let me have the reins for a little bit, and then I'll bring it back up. And that's what they did, and they had no choice. They had to do this, because right. if not, they'd be dead in the water.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
That's all there is to it.
And then there was the announcement coming up on Saturday, October the 8th, is coming to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Extreme Rules, which will have no Extreme Rules as a pay-per-view.
That's true.
Excuse me. Premium live event. But yeah. will they actually have Extreme Rules this year? Last year, one match with stipulations. Every match at Extreme Rules should have stipulations.
Every one of them.
That's
the problem with the WWE. That's the problem with everybody right now in professional wrestling. You say that you're going to have Extreme Rules, or this is a cage match, and it's just a regular match.
Right.
I have a suggestion. If you have Hell in the Cell, stop with the Red Cell. That's my gripe. Stop with the Red Cell, please.
They could do bull rope matches. They could do lumberjill matches.
Of course.
They could do mixed tag team matches. They could do car versus car, paycheck against paycheck, loser leave town, loser leave NXT, goes to
yes.
the Raw, you know, winner goes to the WWE Raw. Yeah, they could, if they put their minds to it, every match could have a stipulation. Every one
it
of
could,
them.
It could, yes.
That
old
would be extreme.
Old storylines are never, they can always be brought back up.
Right.
But at least let's bring, you know, they should bring in the old talent from back in the 90s and the 80s and say, what can we do to make people watch? Okay, then quit this bull crap that you have right now. This is what's pushing people away, because their storylines, you can see right through them.
Right.
You know what's fixing to happen.
Well, I think that you can see that there are some changes in the WWE because
oh, yes.
Triple H has kind of taken over. And then Shawn Michaels has taken a role now. And there's more younger people in the creative. And I'm speaking as an old dude here. I'm 65 years old. Older and wiser is good. But sometimes you need somebody to come in younger and tweak it. And if they don't
yeah.
tweak an idea and make it a little bit more modern, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
I had a little bit of a talk with somebody online one time, and they say, well, professional wrestling is at its peak. I said, no, professional wrestling is not at its peak. I said, back in the 90s and the 80s, I said, that's when it was at its peak. Because there was no internet,
right?
And we didn't know. And he says, well, give me a reason why. And I told him, I said, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Right. That's one of them. That was a great match.
Tupelo, and he says, what's Tupelo, Mississippi? I said, look it up on the internet, look it up and watch that scene and you'll understand. Well, he got back with me. He goes, oh my God, I would never have guessed this. I said, they've done it before in the modern era, but it didn't work because they've seen it before. And it was too lit and it was too modern. I said, back then, they didn't know. So this was real. And you're a witness to this. When you first saw that, probably at my grandmother's house or
right.
my grandfather's house, you saw this for the first time. And what's the first thing that came through your mind?
I was laughing my head off. I loved every minute of it. When Larry Latham, who went on to be one of the Moondogs, and then Wayne Ferris went on to become Honky Tonk Man, taking on Jerry the King Lawler.
The person that made it the best was Lance Russell.
Lance Russell. Yeah, he
when
he
Lance
took,
Russell
his
did
commentary
that.
Was classic.
Yes. See, that's what's missing. They need a commentator that can do stuff like that on the fly, like Lance Russell did.
Yeah, that was the concession brawl. You want to watch it Tupelo, Mississippi concession brawl. And Bill Dundee was the other competitor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bill Dundee was one of them.
Yeah, and Bill's been on the podcast with us, by the way. I'm working on getting some of these past interviews that we've done, putting it onto our website. And I should have that done probably by the first of the year. So kind of keep looking for that. We have Bill Dundee, Vicky Guerrero, a couple others that we've
And
done.
I even put it on a Facebook page one time that people were putting on past wrestling wrestlers from other organizations. And the first thing I put was every picture I saw came from Memphis.
At one point, yes.
At one point came from Memphis.
Some of the greats got sent through Memphis one way or the other, whether they were hired to be in Memphis earlier in the career.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock was actually sent to Memphis to learn how to be Rocky Maivia at the time. But, to learn the ropes, Memphis was one of the hotbeds. St. Louis, AWA, not quite as much of a hotbed, but you get into the Mid-South Wrestling, Dallas and Florida, and then Jim Crockett Promotions in the Carolinas were all what I would term hotbeds of professional wrestling because they were letting people loose and letting them do their thing. Now, the old WWWF, which is, up in the Northeast, their wrestling very good, but it wasn't as wild as in some of the other territories. And Memphis, to me, was one of the best. And if you ever want to see a great documentary, Memphis Heat.
Oh, yes.
Right. So,
I mean, if you ever get onto that, look up Memphis Heat, you'll find some of the greatest wrestlers basically of all time. And everybody went through Memphis. Ric Flair, Nick Bockwinkel, The Rock, The Undertaker, Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee. They all went through there.
Hulk Hogan.
And we keep pushing this because for a reason is that's where Memphis really, that's where wrestling started, accelerating was Memphis.
And then, I don't know if you realize this, but Ric Flair was actually born in Memphis.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, and it's a real sad story because, true story, there was an adoption agency that was eventually caught that reportedly were stealing babies and then adopting them.
Oh, wow.
And Ric Flair might have been one of those babies. That's in Rick's autobiography. So
there's another thing that's going on. Ric Flair has finally switched over to the side of now he's with a legalized marijuana group. He calls it Ric Flair Drip. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really?
Oh.
He's calling it Ric Flair Drip, and I mean the man is smoking more than Snoop Dogg right now. So it's been some times of Rick right now. So,
well, I wish I could explain my weight by having munchies, but I don't do that kind of stuff.
Well, if this man keeps it up, he's going to be about the size of King Kong Bundy. But I give all the man credit if that's what he feels like he needs to do with all the years that he's been in wrestling. And if that's what helps him out, so be it. I have no problem with it. So,
well, thank you, Chris.
I was hoping Zane would be on with us.
Well, we'll try to get him on soon. I think when Zane's on with us next time, we're going to talk to him about the WWE because he made a tweet to me the other day, or not a tweet, a text to me, talking about the WWE and their current booking. And I would love to get more about that. That'll be from Zane Peterson. Maybe as early as this weekend we can get him on. So, okay?
Sounds like a winner.
Okay.
All right.
Any final words, my man?
Not really. I mean, we've got some wrestling organizations coming down here. MLW is coming down. The Rock and Roll Express. FTR is coming here. I'm not going to be able to make those showings. But there's some other organizations coming down to do some wrestling. And with my work, I'm just not able to do it. But guys, keep listening to to our program. You're going to love every minute of it. There's some comedy. There's some good things. And if you have any questions or comments, ask us.
Right.
We'll gladly answer anything we can.
Yeah, and we will do that at any time. Join us on Facebook. And if you would like to be on with us sometime, we'd like to invite some of our fans on Facebook to be a part of the show, and we'll talk to you right here on the podcast You can tell your friends you're a podcaster.
And we'd like to say to Mike, congratulations on the cancer.
That's free. All right.
Yes, Mike. He is free of cancer. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So Mike is doing very well. We missed you on the podcast too, brother. We'll try to put you on as soon as we can. But congratulations on being cancer-free.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. We're all friends here, and we might not agree 100%, but I hope we can always say that we're going to be friends when we're through with it. And you don't have to agree with us all the time, and we don't have to agree with you all the time, but we will give you a little bit of respect, and we expect the return.
Yes, sir.
And as Zane always says, man, it's a great time to be a professional wrestling fan.
That is true.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
The original trash head.
But he was like a deer in the headlights.
Totally unprofessional.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
I was wearing my PAC t-shirt yesterday.
Outlaw Mud Show.
Using it like toilet paper.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
Everybody loves this man.
Did I like it? Uh-uh.
It threw me for a loop at first.
That was pretty lame.
And I've got a pretty big nose.
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get these hands.
Oh, you think so?
Get these hands. Extreme Rules, which will have no Extreme Rules as a pay-per-view.
That's true.
Premium live event.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Really?
If you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed.